The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Experience lightning fast speeds and Sky's best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty, 9:05. It's Wednesday morning, the 23rd of June, 2021. And, well, frankly, it's a little overcast and a little drizzly, and the gardens of Ireland are opening their mouths going, that's exactly what the world needs right now. And everyone else, hopefully, has sunshine on the west coast, northeast, northwest, southeast, no, southwest. New York Times headline is the one I want to talk about this morning, because it's gone viral. People are saying that it's not only Pulitzer Prize winning, or worthy at least, but perhaps the best in the paper's 170-year history. That is a, I don't know, even that headline itself, that opening paragraph is like saying this is the funniest story you're ever going to hear. You know, people, it's a rookie error to begin a story by saying, I want to tell you a story that's really funny. Don't ever begin a story. No, we'll decide if it's funny. You know, I've got a brilliant story for you. Well, just tell it. Just say I have a story. Anyway, you get the point. The science story detailed more moray eels. This is all important. Every word in this next paragraph is important because the headline's been concocted by some very, very, very clever sub-editor somewhere. Sub-editors are the great underestimated writers of our time, of any time, because a headline is, that's what they say, headline grabbing. And that's the point. Anyway, back to the moray eel. The moray eels have the ability now to hunt on land, as you probably know, and they've demonstrated their ability to climb a ramp to eat pieces of squid. I mean, the eel climbs a ramp to eat a piece of squid. And the online sub-editor, pencil in mouth, comes up with this alleged, you can decide if it's funny or not, masterpiece. When an eel climbs a ramp to eat squid from a clamp, that's a moray.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. You can decide whether that's Pulitzer Prize winning or worthy. And look, we know all the headlines down through the years of the funniest one about supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. We won't go into them. I'm just telling you that one because it's new and it's fresh. And that's the latest one. And I love it. In fairness, that's quality. Sub-editors of the world, take a bow and reflect in the glory coming from New York today, because really you do a great job and it's very amusing. I love a good headline. Mostly in the tabloids, let's face it, they can have more fun with the headlines, and they do very, very well. Now, I need to talk about burgers just for a second. And the reason I'm talking about burgers, because there was a tweet sent by Jennifer, Jacobite Jen, saying to restaurateurs, please, please stop selling us burgers in brioche buns. Stop. Nobody likes them. I mean, nobody. I've never met anyone who said, oh, I love a good brioche. Just give us a good roll or bap or whatever, bam, whatever's got, whatever your region calls them. We'll take a blah. There's a place near me that does a fine BLT in it with a blah. It's delicious. I order it all the time. Gorgeous. But the brioche has to stop. Whoever thinks it's a good idea. It's like putting two Danish pastries with a slab of beef in the middle of it. It's like big sweet cake. Stop. I think even Supermax have made bags of the chicken fillet burger recently because it's got nuts and things in the... Just look at Bundy's. Look what they've been doing for years. Six pack with some seeds on the top. It's fine. It wasn't broken. Stop trying to fix it. It's a burger. Leave it as it is. Thank you. Meanwhile, over in the UK, like, I'm very excited about their one nation. I mean, what's left of it. I mean, they're hanging by a thread, but they're still going for it. And somewhere along the line, according to joe.co.uk, they don't credit the journalists enough on online articles, I find, but this is another example of it. Well, where do you even start with this? Children across the UK, children are being urged to, by the government, okay, this is all wrong, the children are being urged by the government, to sing a song celebrating Strong Britain, Great Nation, on June 25th. Now, either some of you will say, why wouldn't they? They should be proud of their country. Proud of God Bless You, Ma'am, up the Union Jack and How's Your Father and all the rest of it, and that's great. But others will be saying, this is a little bit Cold War, a bit old-fashioned. But anyway, it's going to be part of One Britain, One Nation Day, when children can apparently learn about their shared values of tolerance, kindness, pain, pride and respect. There's a Freudian slip, pain in the middle of it all. Anyway, despite being given a name that screams the exact opposite, the values and meaning behind the day sound like they were are well intended. According to this article, when was the moment that we transitioned into some dystopian Black Mirror hellscape in the UK? Because that certainly seems to be where we're in now. Remove the word Britain from the song and you could imagine it in a whole host of different environments. North Korea, the USSR, one Britain, one nation. Would you like to hear the song for the children? Let's do it.
We are Britain and we have one dream. To unite all people in one great team. We are Britain and we have one dream. To unite all people in one great team. Strong Britain, great.
Okay. Steady now. Scotland are out of the European Championship. Scotland pretty much probably going to be out of the one Britain in due course. But nevertheless, look, it's a song. They're having a go at it, and leave them at it. They're only trying their best to. It's a form of, I presume, patriotism, of pride of some sort. But I'd rather go back to our own president, Michael D. Higgins, who has been saying very nice things about primary school students. And I think he's wise to do that, according to RTE.ie. As they enter the final weeks of what he called a challenging school year, he said, "You have constantly placed the health and safety of others above your own wishes and needs, and that's something of which you all, along with your teachers and parents, could be very proud indeed." And so he acknowledged that students could not take part in normal school events like Christmas plays and concerts and sports days and tours and outings and religious ceremonies like First Communions and Confirmations, and that adults who benefited from their selfless actions would never forget the generation of children who are so generous and so willing to change their behaviour for the benefit of others. So well done to the children. I know they're mostly still in school now, but that's what the president, Uachtaráin na hÉireann, has been saying, and he's quite right. And it's only fair to say that. Wow, a lot of the tabloids today are promoting RSVP magazine. RSVP magazine is a great magazine. It does exactly what it wants to do, which is just a glossy look at life for celebrities and other people in Ireland. And but that's not the point of this story, is that they have now a whole new magazine for dogs. It's called RSVP Madhura. And it's Linda Martin taking centre stage there. Michael D. Higgins is photoed with pictured with his two dogs. Roy Keane is pictured with his dog. A whole RSVP, like a gossip magazine, it's an entertainment magazine, is probably a better word, for dogs. That's what people love there. I bet you that'll sell like hotcakes. Modern day technologies should prevent stranded sailors from resorting to cannibalism. I mean, this is where it's come to. And we're in the House of Lords now at one stage. And in the House of Lords the other day, one guy raised the odd legal precedent set in the late 19th century, which goes back to 1884 when Captain Tom Dudley and mate Edwin Stevens were stranded at sea in a lifeboat following a shipwreck in the South Atlantic off the coast of Africa. And the cabin boy, poor old Richard Parker, was with them. He was in poor health. And they started kind of going, "Oh, you okay?" And the poor boy was, the cabin boy was getting sicker and sicker. They were getting hungrier and hungrier. They're kind of looking at him going, "Oh," like head tilting at him as he started to pretty much disappear, going, "Lads." And anyway, you know where this is going, don't you? I mean, I mentioned the key word to this article a second ago. Exactly. That's a great start suggestion. You just can't get the brioche buns, lads, out. Cabin boy's sick. Anyway, on they go. So Dudley and Stevens decided to kill him and eat him to fend off starvation. Okay, and that's where the humour ends, obviously. And after being rescued and returned to the UK, the pair justified their arrest. So everyone said, "So where's the cabin boy?" They go, "Hmm? Where's the cabin boy?" And they said, "We kind of got sick and we ate him." And they said, "Oh." And they said, "It's a custom of the sea." And somebody said, "Where does it say that?" And they said, "Well, it's kind of unwritten, you know, when we're out there. Stuff happens. It's like Vegas with water, you know, like what it's just, it's what happens." But this was rejected and they were convicted of murder, sentenced to death for the cabin boy meal. And this was later commuted to a 6-month prison sentence by the Crown, which I think is kind of amazing. Even the Crown's commutation of it. So they say, "What did you do? We ate him." "Okay. So what's the fine for that?" "Well, it's customary to see." "No, it wasn't." "Okay. What now? We sentence you to death and life imprisonment." "Okay. But we're going to commute that to what?" "6 months." "What?" 6 months after all that. This seems to be a remarkably small amount of time for the recently digested cabin boy. That's pretty shocking. So the case set the precedent in common law that necessity is not a defence when charged with murder. A little off-colour story, but nevertheless, eye-catching in extremis. Which brings me to Colin Farrell's latest role. According to the Irish Daily Star today, Sandra Mallon telling us that Colin Farrell looks unrecognisable as he sports a heavy beard and long hair for his latest role as Henry Drax in The North Water. He's going to play the harpooner. Now we're back at sea. Portrayed in the 2016 novel by Ian Maguire. Has anyone read that? Is it good? Because after the madhouse at the end of the world, I'm kind of more interested in this world than I ever was before. But a new look at the 5-part series for BBC Two, which is set in Hull and on the ice floes of the Arctic in the late 1850s, shows a transformed Farrell sporting long dark hair and a thick beard. And he stars alongside Stephen Graham, who's pretty much in everything bar The Angelus, by the looks of things. Great actor, though. He's in there as Brownlee, the Volunteers' captain. Jack O'Connell is a great actor as Patrick Sumner. And Tom Courtney, another fine actor, as the ship's owner, Baxter. That looks really good. And in the photographs, Colin Farrell looks the part. So if you've read that, let me know, is it worth a read? And I appreciate that. The song One Britain, One Nation is a little bit Boris, isn't it, though? It's got that whole Borisian, Johnsonian kitchen table rah, rah, rah feel to it. Yeah, quite right. Don't you mean Doggy Magazine will sell like hot dogs? Yes, that's more like it. Better than I'd. Brioche bun, says Marion. Couldn't agree with you more. Down with the brioche burger buns. Yes, welcome back, restaurateurs of Ireland. Yes, we love your burgers. Yes, we want to support you. Yes, we want to sit outside and have burgers and it's going to be fine. But I got to say, the brioche has got to go. Ryan went to the cinema last night. Good, Desney. For the first time in 19 months, it's a 60-mile round trip to our nearest cinema. So we have to really want to see something. Went to In the Heights. I'm excited about this. This is the guy who brought us Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda. It was, go on, here's the review. First review I've read from a real person as opposed to a critic. It was good, not great. It's no Hamilton, but it felt great to be munching popcorn in front of the big screen. Exactly. That's what I've noted. It's getting 4 stars around the place, which is a very fine review for a movie. But I've noted it hasn't hit that golden 5-star over and over and over. But 4 stars good enough for me. I'm definitely going to go and see it. I just haven't, for some weird reason, had the time. I thought I should have had time yesterday, but I made up bags in my diary. I had to go to a meeting because we were talking about the Toy Show Fund, which we'll have a big announcement about on Friday. And I didn't read the question and exam properly. And I made my way, because I'd left here, obviously, in the morning, made my way back in. 3 o'clock meeting, said, great. And now COVID regulations, I presumed that things had moved and changed a little bit. I was wrong. Said, texted the guys, where's the meeting? I said, it's on Teams, it's online. Said, oh, me sitting in, I had to go to a conference room on my own, download the app, try and find access to it. Got into the meeting, late, like a wreck. Very, very important meeting. But that's what, it's just, we're going to have to tolerate this like transition from COVID regulations to COVID regulations relaxing, which they haven't here before. Everyone goes, I can't believe RTA's regulations are relaxed. They're not. But as they change around the place, the country, not just here, we're going to have to. But the moral of the lesson really was, read the email you got. Didn't read it properly. Now, we have much to discuss today, and I just want to say, because I was at St. Patrick's Cathedral not too long, I had such a lovely visit, and I love how they treat children, because they could see kids coming through the doors and kids going, okay, it's a church, don't care. But when you give them a worksheet, it sounds really boring, but actually it's not, and say, go find the stuff. And you go, okay, did I get it? But you want to see the one Kyle Moore Abbey in Connemara have pulled together. They sent it in to me this week, and it is really, really something. Ethna Halloran, I think, and her crew there have put it together. It is the most beautiful presentation. And then just when you think it's over, you flip it, and it's Oscailge as well. And it is, you could spend, I'd say, about a full day in Kilmore with this, trying to find everything. And that just, you know, it's kind of like the kids' menu. You kind of go, can I just read that and learn stuff in a little more simple English and take it from the kids and learn yourself. But it's a beautiful discovery document, if you want to call it that, and a really nice thing to do. And I also want to pay respect to Leah Byrne, who was in touch with us after the interview I did with Andrew Geary about his son Callum, who's deaf. You remember that? I spoke to the Gearys on the Late Late Show about their struggle to get Callum educational needs and so on. And Leah was in touch about her documentary called Am I Deaf Enough, which followed her personal battle with deafness. And she's been hard of hearing since she was four. And the documentary explains the hard time she had accepting her disability. 16-minute film. She made it to help other deaf individuals who may be struggling the same way she did. And the short documentary won the Project of the Year at the Kaleidoscope 2021 Showcase. So congratulations to Leah. You can watch it on YouTube if you wish. Search the title Am I Deaf Enough? Short documentary into the search bar. And there you go. Well done, Leah. I hope your family are as proud of you as they should be. On the RSVP Mothra special, a text comes in to ask, will people be barking mad to buy that mags after? I don't know if it deserves a badum-tish. I'll give it to you anyway because it's dark outside. Just thinking, is that where the names of the tiger Richard Parker came from in Life of Pi? Asked Maggie. A literary question and a fine question. I don't know, but it would make sense. It's nautical, but nice. We'll see. New magazine for dogs. I didn't know dogs were big readers. Well, some dogs, you know, they like to hit a certain day and, you know, take some time out. Pause, if you like. No. All I can ever be to you. Boom, that's Amy Winehouse, Winehouse and Tears Dry on Their Own. I just started North Water. This is the I thought it was a production coming out in the autumn or something. It's going already. Brilliant. Fiona watched it last night. Gruesome. Palpitating and juicing, terrifying, nerve-wracking and brilliant. One is. The reviews are in. Sounds good to me. I'll be certainly watching that. Watching another kind of gruesome thing. It's an Israeli drama called Black Space. And it's a school shooting scenario. And once you get over the horror of that, if you can, it then comes down to this policeman going, so who did it? Was it maybe Arab staff who worked behind the scenes? Or more likely, and it was some of the kids in the school did it. Great mystery. And it's very, very good. Very fine production called Black Space. Worth a look. Yes, Ryan, the characters in The Life of Pi are indeed based on that court case. Well, I mean, that is, I'm wonderfully dazzled by that information. Apparently, the greatest victim of the host, we're talking about the cannibal court case, has achieved another sort of afterlife. Richard Parker, the poor cabin boy, lives on, albeit strangely transformed, in Jan Martel's best-selling novel, Life of Pi. And indeed the film, director Annalise's later peculiar film. And there you are. So now you know. 9:25, back shortly.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
At 9 minutes to 10, we were talking about Princess Grace yesterday, strangely. I don't know what it was. It was Ireland's Own magazine. I was singing the praises of it. And there she was, and people had, Maxie it was, who had written a gorgeous article all about Princess Grace and the visit here. And a lot of people got on to us to say, I met her or I saw her in the distance. And we might talk to one person who shook the hand and said hello. We might do that in a couple of minutes. But first...
Gee, but it's great to be back home.
Yeah, love the brass on that from Paul Simon. Keep the customer satisfied at 6 minutes to 10 o'clock. What a truly incredible woman in the midst of a world that preaches an I'm worth it message. If anyone was ever worth it, it's that beautiful woman. An example to those who selfishly complain about nothing. And that from Joan. Thank you indeed for Joan. Peter Huggard. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Ryan.
Very nice to talk to you. What part of the world are you in?
I'm in Waterville in County Kerry, an area you know very well.
It's a beautiful... I drove past Charlie Chaplin and the Butler Arms Hotel not too long ago, well, probably about a year ago now. Princess Grace...
Now is my daughter's hotel. I handed it over to them a few years ago.
Good man yourself, and I hope they're running it beautifully, as they only do. You met Princess Grace?
I did, in Ashford. My father owned Ashford... before he sold it to Jack Mulcahy in 1970.
Ashford Castle in Cong.
Yes.
Beautiful, okay.
Yes.
And so go ahead.
They were staying there, I think it was 1962, it was Lord Caledon that organised the visit. And I remember, I had a little donkey at the time, and I remember bringing Prince Albert and Princess...
Caroline?
Caroline, for donkey rides.
And how was the princess? Was she a lovely person?
They were very, very nice people. I think Princess Caroline, was she killed in a road accident years later?
Well, Princess Grace was, I think, wasn't she?
Wasn't that it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And did they stay at Ashford Castle? They did?
They did, yeah. They stayed for 4 days.
Gorgeous. In about, what, about 1961?
62, I think it was.
Very good. And that was, so Ashford would have been quite well known at that point shortly after, because it wasn't a million miles away from the Quiet Man.
Well, yes, I remember I was 5 years of age when the Quiet Man was made in Ashford.
And do you have memories even that young?
I have bits and pieces of memories. I remember Maureen O'Hara.
Very good.
And I used to meet her quite regularly in latter years when she was living out in Glengarriff.
Okay, so you've got the full Ashford connection there and Princess Grace, and I believe you knew my late uncle, and sadly I never met him because he passed away.
He was killed around the time that you were born.
That's right, Chris Andrews. He was in the hotel business.
He was, yes. And he was in, when my father sold Ashford, Chris Andrews became my Vahiti. He took over the running of the hotel, and he was my boss there.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's fascinating. Yeah. Okay, and I hope he was a good boss now. Tell me the truth.
He was a lovely man.
Oh, thank goodness.
A lovely man.
Good. I've only heard good things. Peter, thank you for that lovely story. I appreciate it.
And listen, call in for a cup of coffee when you're in Waterloo. 100%.
It won't be long. I'll see you there. Look forward to saying hello to you.
Cheers.
All the best. Thanks, Peter. Lovely man. Peter Huggard. God, he covered a multitude there, didn't he, in that short conversation. Lovely man. 3 minutes to 10, back short. Well, the front page, New York Times. Apparently, if you remember the beginning of the programme, we talked about that great headline about the Moray Eel. PJ Gary was on to say, apropos the Moray Eel, in 1977... our biology teacher in Flannans, Father Jones, explained that Moray eels were not slimy like ordinary eels by telling us when the eel that you feel doesn't feel like an eel, that's a moray. When the eel that you feel...
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's a moray.
Eel. Okay, 51551. Thank you very much. I like when it goes a little bonkers. I appreciate it. Watch The North Water is well worth reading, says Marion Cork. You should probably read the book before watching the show. I have so many books to read at the moment. I don't know if I'm going to get near it, but I'll look it up. I'll see, track down a copy, and I'll come back to you on all of that. The rest of the text this morning, and I'm going to talk. We'll probably look at a few of them in the morning because there are a lot of heartfelt messages coming in from people around the country, and full of respect, love, and support for Brenda. And Brenda, like Katie, again, representative voices. They, in fairness to them, these are people who are selfless altruists who are simply coming on the program like this, on behalf of so many, to say, look, try not to feel as lonely or as on your own as you are. We're all fighting the good fight as much as we can. I'm going to leave it there for now. Claire Byrne standing by. Stay tuned for her and have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.